Hey kids, I need some help this morning, so if you want to come on down the front. Thank you, Dave, up here. Well done. Well done, Dave. All right, we've got some other kids at the back. Yep, Genius is back with us today. Excellent. Good to have you with us, mate. How are you doing? You good? Excellent. All right, you guys can sit down here. All right, I just need one volunteer up here, but maybe we might get some others a little bit later. How you going, mate?
Good.
Very good. Very good. This is an activity or a game that you can play. Now, back in the day when I was teaching RI, I was undefeated in this game. I did play grade ones. So, all right, now, Dave, what you've got to do, you get your left foot and put your right foot in front of it. Okay, now come and put it up next to mine because I'm already in place. All right, you put your one hand behind your back and then the other hand. All right, see, I'm wobbling already. I'm in trouble. All right, and then you got to hit my hand and knock me out of balance. Ready, set, go. Okay. See, I win. There we go, ladies and gentlemen. Like the Parramatta Eels, undefeated in 2019. All right, let's try one more time, Dave. You ready? You got the idea now?
Yep.
Okay. So I used... Are you left-handed? Oh, my apologies. Go on, hand behind your back. All right, ready, set, go. Hey, saw that one coming. Ready, set, go.
Keep going.
Hit me, hit me, hit me. Left-handed, go. All right. Oh, yeah. We could do that all morning, but unfortunately... We got other things on. All right, sitting down. Now, well done, Dave. Well done. Okay. That game's all about our feet, isn't it, Dave? Because if your feet move, you're out. So everyone concentrates on your hands, but you've got to make sure you've got that ready. Your feet. Your feet are really, really important. Now, there are certain doctors who are called feet doctors. All right? Those of us in the medical profession call them pods, the doctors. It's okay. Medical people get that joke. All right. So feet doctors are really good at what they do. In fact, feet doctors are so passionate about feet that they say if your feet are no good, then your ankles are no good. If your ankles are no good, your knees are no good. If your knees are no good, your hips are no good. And your hips are no good, your back's out, and then you get a pain in the neck. So you can get a pain in the neck because your feet are out of balance, according to the feet doctors. I'm telling you what they say. So your feet are really, really, really important. Do you agree? Kind of. Very good. Okay. Okay. Now, here's where you can help me today. I want you to pretend I don't know how to walk.
Oh.
Okay. Now, in your words, you have to tell me or teach me or educate me on how to walk. How do I walk? Yes, sir. You put my foot. Which foot? This one? Okay. So I put it forward. I move it forward like that. Okay, so is that a walk? No. What else do I need to do? Yes? Oh, with the other foot. Oh, okay, so I've got to do that, and then I've got to bring this foot to there, and then that one, and then that one, and keep doing that, and that's walking? Very good. Very good. So have you ever seen little kids learning how to walk? How do they do it? Oh, they hold on to the wall. Yeah, they'll do this sort of stuff. Walking the wall. All right? Or holding on to things. Okay? So it's important. So when you walk, because you got it right, do you in your head go left, right, left, right, left, right? Oh, what's next? Left. Is that what you do when you walk?
You can go right, left, or left, right.
Right. You're confusing me. Right, left, or left, right? What? So, but do you do that in your head, or do you just get up in the morning and you don't even think about it and you just walk? Sometimes you just get up in the morning and just walk. Sometimes you think left, right, left, right, left, right.
Okay. I never think left, right, because I don't know how to walk.
You don't know how to walk.
I said I do know how to walk.
Oh, you do know how to walk, so you don't think about it.
Yeah.
It becomes automatic.
Yes.
like the Australian batsman getting out, automatic. All right. Left, left, right, left, right. Okay. Well, you don't turn the TV on in your house. That's what's wrong. All right, no watching the cricket at your place. Oh, your uncle's fine. All right, so when you walk, did you notice that some people walk differently? Some people walk differently. Some people walk with their hips. You know, people walk like that. No? You have to be very confident in who you are to walk like that. All right. What about... You don't mind coming up the front? No, I've got a challenge for you, all right? I want you to stand over here, all right? And I want you to walk to that door over there. See that door? If I go near that door, I make a loud squealy sound. So you can do this for me? All right, now what I want you to do is pretend someone's got a great big hook through your nose and they're pulling it so your head is leading your walk. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right, so you pretend someone's got it and then you walk across there by them pulling your nose. Put your nose right out. Right out. Stick it right out. That's it. That's it. Very good. Good work. Come back here. Excellent work. All right. Next volunteer. Who's up? Ah, come on, Elijah. All right. You got a big chest?
Yeah.
All right. You want to pretend you walk with your chest out front. So put your... That's your belly, man. Your chest.
What?
Your chest. Put it out. That's your belly. All right, put your chest out and walk out the front with chest. That's it. Yeah, walk. Very good. All right. What about a lady? Would you like to have a go? Come on up. All right, this one has nothing to do with the walk. Turn around. Okay, I want you to lead with your feet. So walk with your feet. That's very lady. Very good. Okay, very good. Good work. Good work. Give me five. All right, so walking is all in different ways, aren't we?
Yes.
You know? Cynthia and I, many years ago, before you were born, we would do something called the Pavilion of Promise. The Pavilion of Promise was at something called the World Expo. It was in the year 1988. All right, so a long time ago. And we worked at the Pavilion of Promise sharing Jesus with all these people that came in. And there were clowns. Now, I did training as a clown. And it's funny because these days clowning scares people. But one of the things we did as a mime was we did the walk of funny walks. And so we would get around. I didn't do it at Expo, but I really liked it when they did it. And people would come up behind people walking through Expo, and they would walk behind them exactly the same. Anyone see, remember that? And they would walk behind them as if... And then when they turn around, they'd go like this. But it was the mimicking other people's walks. Now, if you watch, I love going to places like shopping centres and that and watch people, even when I'm on patrol. You know one of the funniest walks I see on patrol? People will be down on the beach, and it'll get midday. And then they'll start coming off the beach, and they walk like this. That's a weird walk, isn't it? Who walks like that? People that don't know what they're doing. Why do you think they would walk like that?
The sand's hot.
The sand's hot, exactly. Sometimes we walk a certain way because there's a result of it.
Yeah.
The sand's hot. Or if I'm walking like this, what does that show? I have a sore foot. If I'm walking like this, I'm having a baby, yeah. That was too easy, wasn't it? All right. What if I'm walking like this? I've got a headache. Yeah. What if I'm walking like this?
You're depressed.
Sad. I'm sad or depressed. I could be depressed. A teenager. Oh, yeah, the phone one. 99% of Australians. All right. So the walk we walk is very, very different, isn't it? How do you guys walk?
I walk normally.
You walk normally? You know what? I think we all think we walk normally.
No, we don't.
But we don't.
Oh, that's how I walk.
Now, is that how you walk?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Left foot, right foot, right foot, left. You know what? The Bible talks about men and women who walked with God. How do you think they walked with God? They what?
They floated.
They floated? Is that sort of the float with God? No? Oh, hover. I haven't perfected that one, sorry. Can you show us how to do that one?
Stand up on there.
Stand up on there. And then it looks like I'm, like the people down there now think I'm hovering. Is that, no? Okay. But walking with God. What about when you walk with someone along the beach? You're walking with them. Do you start to walk together? Do you want to help me out? Hop up for a sec. Walk three steps in front of me. All right? Okay, so if we're walking along the beach together, do we walk like this? Keep walking. Do we walk like that? No. How do we walk? Okay. That's nice. We may not walk like that, but yeah. My wife and I might. Okay. So you walk together along the beach. So you think walking with God means walking together with God? Maybe hand in hand? Maybe side by side? Maybe just listening for his still voice on how we go through the day? Now, Jesus, when he lived on earth, showed us many things on how we can walk with God. He showed us many things that enabled us to see who God was. We could see some of God's holy character come through. We could see some of God's loving character come through. We could see that, you know, Jesus would go into situations and bring healing. A leper was a person who was unclean and no one wanted to talk to them or even live anywhere near them. But Jesus went up to lepers a number of times and reached out to them and healed them. When people had passed away, they too were unclean, and so you never went up to them. But Jesus at least four times went up and saw people raised from the dead. One time he reached his hand into the coffin and touched the young boy, which made him no longer holy in the eyes of the law, but it made the young boy come back to life. And his mother, who was now was a widow, was just amazed that this had happened. So Jesus showed us a lot of things about how to walk through life, how to walk with God. Some of the things that he did, we live on today and help us to walk with God. This little time, do you guys know what this one is?
Yes.
Yes, what is it?
The bread or the crackers.
Yep.
The body.
Yes. Yes.
And the juice represents the blood.
The blood. All right. For those that didn't hear, the bread or the crackers represents the body of Christ and the juice represents the blood. So why do we do this ceremony? Does anyone know? Why do we do this? Anyone? Yes? To celebrate that God rose from the dead, that he died on Good Friday and he rose from the dead. And it helps us to remember that each and every day we can walk with God. We can walk with God. We can partake in the blood that was shed and we can take part of the flesh. If I grab this little bit of bread, all right, this little bread at the moment is here. All right? If I eat it, where's the bread now? It's in me. So the bread is what? A part of? It's part of my body. Yeah, so when we come into this and we take the bread and the wine and we eat and we drink, we remember Jesus, but we take Jesus in that form into our body. So that where we go, it's a picture. Because when you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in your life. And when the Holy Spirit lives in you, if the Holy Spirit's in me, wherever I go, where does God go?
Wherever you go, he's
in our heart. Exactly. So wherever God is, he's with me. And wherever I go, God is with me. Isn't that amazing? And this little ceremony is one way of reminding us that every day we can walk with God. Isn't that cool? That no matter where we go, no matter what we do. So here's this one. Are you ready? When you're asleep, is God with you?
Yes.
Okay. When you're at school, is God with you?
Yes.
When you're shopping, is God with you?
Yes.
When you're making a mess in your room, is God with you?
Yes.
When you're in trouble off your parents and making a mess in your room, is God with you?
Yes.
All right. Does God get in and help you clean up the mess?
No,
because you've got to learn your own lesson, don't you?
You've got to.
Yeah. All right. So God is with us no matter what we do. When we go to the beach, we go to the cricket, everything. God is with us. How often do we go, thanks God for coming to the beach. Thanks God for being with me at school. Thanks God for being with me even when I was getting in trouble. Thanks God for walking with me as I go to work. Well, you guys don't go to work, but you know what? Other folk might go to work. Isn't that cool? That we can actually thank him for that today. And we want to include you guys in the communion today because first communion of the year, let's be all involved, all right? But check with mum and dad because I don't want to override them, okay? Just check with mum and dad, make sure it's okay. But let's take hold of it and go, yeah, God is with me. God is with me. Wherever I go, God is with me. Isn't that cool to know? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Jesus, that when you walked on the earth, you did amazing things. Amazing things, incredible things. And then you grabbed hold of a very, very important service called the Passover, and you shared it with your disciples, and you tweaked a bit of it to give it to us today. And it's exactly right what we've talked about, Father, the body and the blood, to remind us of your death and your resurrection, but also to remind us that you are with us to the end of the ages, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Oh, what a great promise, God. So, Father, as we take the bread and the juice, Lord, may we just sense your very presence filling us up anew today, filling us anew, inspiring us, empowering us for the year that is ahead. Because, Lord, we don't know what the year is ahead like, but there may be challenges that will come. There may be tough times. There may be great times, but we will need you in all of those. So, Lord, today, at this time, at this communion, at this Lord's Supper, may we know you are with us without a shadow of a doubt. And God's kid said, amen. Can I have the service come, please? Well, welcome to 2019.
Thank you.
I pray that it'll be a very good year for you and in amazing ways. Just a quick rehash from the last sermon of 2018. Can anyone remember the 3 points that we talked about?
That was a year ago.
That was a year ago. It was last year. Correct. Correct. First one was to praise the Lord, beginning and end. Beginning of the day and end of the day. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Psalm 150 starts with praise the Lord, ends with praise the Lord. The book of Genesis starts with God creating. And if you go into John chapter 1, we see that the Word was with God. So Jesus with the creation. And then we go at the end of the book of Revelation, we see that Jesus is coming again. So in everything, praise the Lord. In everything, start with Jesus. And the last one was a love for God and letting God love you. For us to love God and to let God love you. So I'm going to start this sermon by just reiterating that in a point of, do we know how much God actually loves us? Do we know that God wants to be with us? It's his heart's desire. And his heart's desire is not just to hang out with us for an hour and a half on a Sunday morning. His heart's desire is to hang out with us 24/7. All the time. All the time. And we're going to look at a few things today that help us to understand what it means to walk with God. Because that's the title for today, Walking with God. How to walk with God. Is it important? Is it something that we need to consider? How to walk with God. My dad was an interesting man as I grew up. At my 20th reunion for school, a number of my mates that I went to school with asked me how my dad was. And I told them, yeah, he's okay, he's good, he's retired now. And I quote this, they said to me, you know, your dad was a grumpy old bugger. And the sad thing is, they were probably right. He probably was grumpy. And now I'm the grumpy one in my house. So, like father, like son. Hereditary. But to me, my dad was my dad. He was who he was. Yeah, he might have been grumpy. Yeah, he might have lost his cool. Yeah, he might have had a fiery temper. And yeah, his walk with God may have been totally different to the rest of the men that I knew in my life. You see, my dad grew up as adopted. He didn't know he was adopted until he joined the war in World War II. Whole other story. He went to World War II, was on the front line for just on 3 years. That's crazy. Crazy. On the front line for 3 years. Didn't even get a case of tinea, let alone shot or wounded or hacked to pieces. Came back and guess what? He had depression from the war. Go figure, huh? You see all those terrible things happen. And so the whole God thing, I mean, Dad had nicknames for God. Whenever it hailed, we don't see a lot of hail on the Kiwanis area, do we, Chris? The hail seems to go left, right and centre. I haven't seen hail. It goes to Caloundra, yeah. God bless Caloundra. Or Noosa, go to Noosa. We don't tend to get a lot of hail, but at Mount Gravatt, in the shadow of Mount Gravatt Mountain, we used to get hail all the time. Hail would come down. It was so exciting as little kids. I could now, as a parent, go, oh, no, not hail. The car, the roof, the windows. And my dad would go out and go, send them down, Huey, send them down. And I'm going, Huey? Who's Huey? That's a nickname he had for God, Huey. Apparently some of the older gentlemen yeah, that's right. It's a nickname God, Huey. But Dad never went to church. My mum was the one that got us involved in church. My mum was the one that got us involved in who Jesus was. But late in life, my dad met Jesus, and it was amazing. He never really got involved in church. When I came back from Tasmania, he'd promised he'd go to church. And when I said, how'd you go? And he said, I didn't go to church. I went a few times, went to the men's Bible study and everything. And I said, what happened? And he said, yeah, they're just a bunch of wusses. Oops, not good. But he used to read his Bible. I gave him a men's devotional Bible. And 2 weeks before he died, I got home to see him. And he said to me, he said, Dad, Donnie, I've been reading about Enoch in the Bible. And I said, you haven't read much, Dad, because there's not a lot about Enoch in the Bible. In fact, for those that want to know about Enoch in the Bible, this is what it says in Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God and he was no more because God took him away. Enoch walked with God and he was no more for God took him away. Now, if you read that in 42 other different translations, it reads the same. There's no variance on it. It's Enoch walked with God and he was no more for God took him away. The Message adds the word he disappeared. He was gone. He went out one afternoon to walk with God and boom, he was gone. Can you imagine if that happened today? Pastor Donnie goes for a walk down the beach, walking with God along the beach, boof, he's gone. Imagine the search and rescue. Everyone from the surf club, radio operator, he just went down there. Where did he go? What happened? Bring in Lifesaver 46, get the IRBs happening. Everybody, let's go. Where did he go? Where did he disappear? Enoch just disappeared. You can read other passages. There's another passage in Hebrews chapter 5 about Enoch, and it was all about how much of a righteous man he was. In the book of Jude, verse 14, there's a prophetic word. See, Enoch was a prophet. Did you know that? This bit doesn't tell us that, but he was a prophet because there's a prophetic word in Jude, verse 14. For those that are going, what chapter, Donnie? There's only one chapter in the book of Jude, verse 14. You can read it later. I'm not going to read it just now, but one prophetic word from Enoch. And so when Dad told me that, I said, Dad, what about Enoch is so important to you? He walked with God. And he said, yeah. And he said, that's what I want to do with my life. I want to walk with God. And then I want to be gone. What do you mean, Dad? And he said, that's it. I just want to walk with God and then be gone. 2 weeks later, my dad is mowing the neighbor's lawn at 11 o'clock on the 13th of December. Yes, in the heat of the day. 76-year-old man. No tragedy going to happen here. Had a massive heart attack. Before he hit the ground, he'd be with the Lord. And as I stood over him, I went, well, yeah, so-and-so, you got your wish. You walked with God. Because when he was in the garden, that was one of his special times with God. When he helped other people, that was his worship. When he retired, the yards around our neighborhood were spotless. He would go and volunteer for all the old ladies in the neighborhood and clean their yard. It was his way of connecting with God. He walked in the garden and he was gone. Reading Enoch meant something for him. That walking with God meant something for him. See, walking with God can be in all different ways, but there are some current things that we need to grab hold of. Enoch, at the age of 65, had a son called Methuselah. And it's at that point something happened, because from that point on, it says, for the next 300 years, Enoch walked with God. Now, for those of you who have seen your firstborn come into the world, is that a God moment or what? Is it something significant? For me, it was. For Cynthia, it was a little bit more different. But for me, it was incredibly amazing. My first year as a youth pastor, there was a young girl in our youth group. She was 16. And she was a gorgeous young girl. And she was just trying to be passionate for God, but she came from a really tough background. Anyway, she got pregnant. And I would go around and knock on the door, and all of a sudden, all the louvers would shut and they'd pretend they weren't home. I'd ring up and I'd talk to the mum. Hi, is so-and-so there? And then I'd hear this in the background. Tell him I'm not home. And no mobile, so it was all landline. And so I could never see her during this time of her pregnancy. I could never pray with her. On the day after she gave birth, I get a phone call from her and asking me to come up and see her at the Mater Hospital. I'm going, I don't get this. Your whole pregnancy, you didn't want anything to do with me. Now that you've given birth, you want to talk to me? I didn't understand. So I travel up to the Mater Hospital and I get in, and here is this young girl, and she is just glowing. And she doesn't say anything to me about the baby. She just looks at me and goes, Donnie, I need to tell you something. And I said, yeah, what? She goes, I believe God is real. Having given birth to my little boy, God just met me in and through that process, and I have no shadow of a doubt that God is real. I went, wow. So we had an amazing chat through that. Now, I'm not sure, because the Bible doesn't tell us, but at this point, Enoch, life changed, and he walked with God. Now, for me, my life changed when I was 14 years old. I went down the front, put up my hand and said, yes, I want to follow Jesus. I have decided I want to follow Jesus. And that's when my life changed. I started to walk with God. Has my walk with God been up and down? Absolutely. And one of my resolutions this year is to walk with God. And to do that, I've put things in place to try and action that. Hold myself accountable to some good mates to get into God's word. Hold myself accountable to other folk to pray and to get involved in things. Walking with God. Noah, a little bit later in chapter 6, says this. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Now, the people of Noah's time, what were they like? Like our world now. I hear what you're saying, because I thought the same. But this, I think, was a lot worse than where we at. And my point is that the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of their thoughts and of their heart was evil all the time. Every inclination. Now, I agree with you, Pamela. We're in a bad state. We're in trouble as a nation and as a world. But I'm not sure if we're there. In the middle of that is a man called Noah who walks with God. You think that was easy? We're all his neighbours. We're all his friends. We're all the people coming around him later on when he started to build this great big ark. All their inclinations, every desire of their heart was evil. Evil, evil, evil. And here's this man, righteous and walking with God. So one of the things on walking with God is a rightness. And we get that rightness. Noah didn't have this, but we get this because of Jesus' life, his death, and his resurrection. We have that empowerment through the Holy Spirit to live a righteous life because of him who died for us, because of him who lives in and through us and strengthens us and enables us to walk. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Very, very well known passage. And it says very clearly, he has shown you, O man and woman, what is good. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. There's a couple other things for us there, isn't there? He has shown us already how he wants us to walk with him. He has shown us that he wants us to act justly. To act justly in amongst all the stuff that's around our world. To love mercy. To love mercy. And to walk humbly. That humble heart. That humble spirit in and through our world. Now I admit, it is easy for me as a pastor in the church. It's easy because I get to share Jesus a lot easier than you folk. I chatted with Avril the other night, and I'll acknowledge it. It's easier for me. I mean, yesterday afternoon, for example, I get a phone call, and it's another deathbed situation up at the hospital. Another lady has had a stroke, and she has declined very, very badly. And her family's all there with her. And the social worker says, Donnie, they want a Baptist pastor. And it just seems every situation in that hospital, they want a Baptist pastor, and so I'm the one they ring. And when I get there, I go, okay, so this is Glenda. Yes, and I'll meet the family. And I go, okay, well, I'm the local Baptist pastor. Does Mum go to a Baptist church? No, Mum doesn't go to church at all. Oh, okay. Do you guys go to church? Yeah, no, we don't go to church. So you guys aren't Baptists? No. So you don't really want a Baptist pastor? Yeah, no. We just want someone. So in the communication from the social worker, it's they want someone, so we'll ring Donnie. So I come up. And in that situation, I get to share the gospel with five strangers from Noosa and with Glenda. I get that because of who I am. It's my number they have because they're after a pastor. You may not get those phone calls. But it's interesting to be able to walk with God into that situation. To share and read Psalm 23. To share and read John chapter 14. And to pray like never before with a lady in that situation. But what about the rest of us? How do we walk with God? If you don't have the advantage of pastor in front of your name, how do you act justly? How do you show mercy? How do you walk humbly? These are things for us to work out this year. Things for us to grab hold of and say, yep, this is something I want to live with. This is something I want to walk with every day. Now, when I shared with the kids, it might have been a bit silly for me to say, when you get up in the morning, do you think, okay, left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot. Yeah, even Elijah. At a young fella, you don't even think that. It's just automatic. We do this. When Enoch walked with God, when Noah walked with God, do you think they said first thing in the morning, okay, today I've got to walk with God, left, right, left, right? Or was it just something that became normal for them? I'm a follower of God. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to pray in and through all these things. Do you think Noah, when he was building the ark, prayed as he built the ark? I reckon he did. Do you think Noah praised God when all of a sudden two whopping great big elephants turned up in the middle of where he was building an ark? Wow, what are those things called? Where did they come from? Wow, God, that's amazing. Elephants. Wow. You know? Noah walked with God. David said to have walked with God. And the New Testament grabs it even a little bit further, doesn't it? It says that David had a heart after God's own heart. And yet when we look at David, we go, hold on a second. David was an adulterer. David was a murderer. David was a bad father. David had one too many wives. He had a couple of hundred too many wives, but at least he had definitely one too many. You know? And Solomon learned a lot of lessons from his father, didn't he? Had twice as many wives as King David. Didn't learn that lesson. And yet, he said to have walked with God. Heart. So when I'm talking about walking with God, am I talking to you about being 100% perfect? No, not at all. I'm saying have a heart for God. Walk with him each and every day. Have that heart attitude. Have that humility. Have that desire to seek justice and have that desire to act mercifully. How do we walk with God? As I shared with the kids, we all walk differently, don't we? Some of us walk being led by the nose, others with our chest puffed out. Others get that wiggle in the hips a lot more than other people do. We all walk differently. All of us may have injuries that cause us to walk with a limp. Some of us walk with knees that have been worn out. So all of us will walk with God differently too, don't you think? Doesn't that make sense? What is in the physical will flow across in the spiritual. So my example and encouragement to us all is to have that desire to walk with God each and every day. To grab hold of God's word. To learn from it. To spend time in prayer. The interesting thing is when they talked a little bit about walking with God, they tied it in with elements of prayer. A lot of the time when we pray kneeling or we pray sitting down or we pray sitting in a chair or we pray in a church service. And one of the things through the Bible is that they had no cars, they had no motorbikes, they had no push bikes, they had horses and mules if you were very rich. But 99% of the way that you got around, like in Malawi today, is guess what? They walked. And so when they walked, they talked with God. And when they walked on a journey together, they often talked about the God things together, like on the road to Emmaus, like a lot of the teaching with Jesus and the disciples happened as they walked from place to place, as they talked. Now here's a quick test for you, ready? When you walk along the beach by yourself, imagine that journey. Now you're walking along the beach with someone else. Does it seem like that journey takes half as long? It does, doesn't it? It does. And so to walk with God also includes bringing other people on that walk with you. Do not walk that journey alone. Walk with someone else so that you can enjoy that journey and be supported and be encouraged on that journey. We all need help. We all need support. We all have the Holy Spirit, but how good it is to have brothers and sisters that will walk that journey with us. Let's pray. Father God, as we step into 2019, Lord, may we follow you. May we decide in our heart today, yes, I am going to follow Jesus. I am going to walk in his footprints. And at times, Lord God, when it gets too hard, I know, Lord Jesus, that as I walk with you, you will scoop me down and you will pick me up and you will carry me through those times. But in that time, Father, may I be aware that you're actually carrying me. May I be aware and thankful that I'm not walking this journey alone. But even though I may feel like it, I'm not, for the fact and the presence of your Spirit is true and real. Father, as we walk this year with you as a church, individually, Father, may we hold your hand. May we hold the hand of the God who created this amazing universe, this incredible place that we still don't understand a little bit of. And you walk each day with us. Oh, Lord God, may that be real. May that be powerful. May that be tangible. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, to start 2019, I'm going to give us a challenge. The band's going to come back and lead us in another time with the Lord. But my challenge for us is that this. If you would like to come down the front and receive some prayer, just to say, yep, I want to walk with Jesus this year. I want to walk with God. Then join with other brothers and sisters and make that solid. You can do that. You can do that where you are, but you can come down the front. I'm going to stay down the front today. So if you're visiting, hang around a bit longer because I won't be at the back door to say goodbye. I'm going to try and pray with a few folk today. So come down the front. I'd love to pray with you. You can pray with me as I walk with Jesus this year as well. But let's start 2019 by going, yeah, I want to walk with God. This is the year I'm going to learn more about God. I'm going to walk closer to God. He and I are going to learn how to love each other even more than I did in 2018. Does that sound like a good plan? Let's do that together. You can do it where you are, but if you want to come down the front, I'd love to pray with you. All right, I'll hand back to Sarah and the team. Thank you.